So Psalm 101 is a psalm that some people quickly attribute to the king. It kind of makes sense to me because the king is definitely the one who will get away with destroying a slanderous neighbor. The king will do a lot better than you will. If you start destroying your slanderous neighbors, my jail ministry is going to start a lot sooner than I planned. Also makes sense, you know, when the psalm talks about that the way of the blameless, those are the ones who will minister to me. No one will practice deceit in my presence. The liars are cast out. So you kind of say, oh, that sounds a little bit like a king. You know, that makes sense. But I have to tell you, I was really, really struck with just the first three statements. I will sing of loyalty and of justice. I will study the way that is blameless. I will walk with integrity of heart. And I thought, man, we got a sermon there. You got some singing, you got some studying, you got some walking. If I could find a poem, we're off to the races. But I remembered a little thing at the top of our bulletin. Praising God, making disciples, changing lives. That's not a poem. It might not even be a haiku. But I wonder if those things work out. Let's try it. So, the king is giving a psalm here and says, I will sing of loyalty and of justice. That sounds a little bit like praising God. So this is, you know, us gathering or individually gathering for worship. We're singing praises to God. We're being thankful. We're rejoicing. We're reflecting on all the good things that God has done for us. And specifically, it says, I will sing of loyalty and of justice. This is about two aspects of God that are pretty important to us. God's steadfast love and faithfulness. God's always being there for us. God's, we as Presbyterians, we talk about God's providential care. You know, like a parent, God is bringing us along, always grabbing a hold of our hand across the busy street. It doesn't matter if we're holding on to God's hand, because God is holding on to us. So this is that loyalty that God has for us. And also God's justice. This idea that even though when we look around, we see a lot of things that are wrong, we have faith that God is the one who will make them right. And it's not about what we think is right, it's about what God thinks is right. Because we've learned a long time ago that God knows better than we do. Right? These aspects of God, these are something that we hold on to. And so when we gather for praise, for rejoicing, for thanksgiving, these are the things we're kind of thinking about. And when we say, I will sing, you see the direction there. This is a Godward direction. Whether we want to think about it transcendent, think of God as being up there or out there, or even if we want to think about being in God. Some people talk about that. You know, well, it says in Acts, you know, in whom we live, move, and have our being. And that doesn't sound like God is up there or out there. It sounds like we're sort of like a fish in a fishbowl. You know, we're in God. God is in us. God's all around us, and we can never be separated from God. Okay, that's good. That's good. You like that? This is also sort of a, if you think about this, I will sing praises, thanksgiving. This is also a heart thing, right? This is sort of the affective moment. This is the feelings moment. Gross. No, but it's good, right? This is about our hearts. I remembered somebody wrote a little bit about a heart, and this is what they said. They said, no one listens to their own heart, not even for a second. Their heart that bestows hour after hour on them. We've grown used to this slight tremor in our being. The eternal beating of the waves that from within us dash on the shore of consciousness. We accept it as we accept our destiny or nature or the course of things. We've grown used to this love. And we no longer hear that tapping finger that knocks day and night at the gate of our soul. We no longer hear this question, this request to enter. Isn't that great to think about your heart that's always beating as God knocking to enter into your life more fully? The God of loyalty, the God of justice, the God of love, who's sort of tapping and wanting to enter more fully into your consciousness as if it's waves on the shore. This is why we gather to praise God. This is why we give thanks, rejoice, and sing, because this is what we're called to do individually as people, but also as Christ's church. So we're into praising God. I will sing of God's loyalty and justice. Sounds pretty good. All right, the next line. I will study the way that is blameless. And then, like the tired student, when shall I attain it? Look, I'm going to study the way that's blameless, but could you just, for sake of argument, tell me what it's important that I should know? Are we going to do anything in class today? Nope. I've planned 45 minutes of nothing, but I'm going to talk about it the whole time. Well, you poor teachers. You don't even have, what is it today? Is today the 14th? It's less than a month, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Praying for you teachers. I haven't prayed for you up till now, but now I'm looking. What is that when people say, I'm going to pray for you? Like, have you not been praying for me? Don't you see the struggles I've had? Did you not think up till now that I needed help? And, you know, I'm really going to keep you in my prayers. Well, please, because apparently you haven't been, and we need help. All right, sorry. That's the best part of the day so far. I'm sorry. So anyway, I will study the way that is blameless. We're talking about making disciples, but it's not an outward focus, making other people disciples. This is perfect because we've got to start with ourselves. Am I a disciple? Well, yeah, but how am I doing? I almost got a 3 on my FSA in discipleship. I'm not quite there. I'm struggling a little bit. You know, I'm following Jesus, but the problem is I'm kind of way back there. I'm only getting a little bit of it, right? The others are keep crowding around. So this is about our own discipleship, our own learning. And that's why we have Sunday school classes, right? We're trying to learn stuff. And we're struggling together. And we're having these moments like, when am I going to get there? When am I going to attain it? You know, I've got these questions. And then I went and asked Pastor Mike, and he didn't answer any of my questions. In fact, he told me that they were good questions, and then he left. So I guess they're good, but I don't know anything. He's the worst. Or, what if I take of your 4 questions you bring to me, I take 1 question and I show you that it's actually 4 questions. Now you've got 7 questions, right? This is the struggle. We talk sometimes about how Presbyterians have to be used to not the black and white, but the gray. It's not just our hair, folks. It's this gray area. Because there's lots of, you know, you ever ask a question to somebody and you just wanted a yes or no, and they say, well, you know, it's kind of both. No! That wasn't an option. I wanted a yes or a no. Well, it depends. What do you mean it depends? I want an answer. Well, you're just walking in the way that's blameless. Yeah, but when am I going to get there? Well, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It can't always be about the journey. Kevin didn't want the journey. He wants to know. It's time for lunch. We want to get there. Just listen to me. It's the hot dog place is on the other side of the park. We'll get there. But this is part of like the human aspect of being a disciple. It's kind of frustrating. Never forget St. Peter, patron saint of idiots, who says in one breath, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Very good. Very good answer, Peter. I'll call you Peter, not Simon anymore, son of Jonah. That brings up bad feelings from the first half of the book. I'm going to call you Peter, and upon you, my rock, I will build this church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I'd like to move on to my next topic, which is that what it means to be the Christ is to suffer and die. And Peter says, hold on, I've got all that good goodwill from last time. That's not what it means, Jesus. And Jesus says to the teacher's pet, get thee behind me, Satan. Ooh. So am I still going to get that extra credit from you? Because you just told me that I was really great, and now you call me Satan, and that's kind of bad, because I did remember, I did read the first half. I read all the books that start with J. So I read that Jonah book, and I read that Job book. It doesn't sound like it's great to be Satan, right? But Peter's our guy. Lots of questions, not a lot of answers. But we're working on it. We're walking in the way. Way is a great Hebrew word. Torah. Way. Instruction. Right? We say law, but law is a very narrow meaning. It's very dynamic. Right? Remember the five books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Read those books. There's lots of law in there. There's also lots of other stuff. Right? Genesis is law. Think about that. Right? So we're walking in the way. The way of everybody who's ever walked. We're walking in this way of integrity. And we're walking. And we're walking together. So making disciples, you can think of it as an exterior move from us to others. Let me help you. But we always want to remember that we need to study ourselves, right? We need to figure some things out. And the good news is we've got our whole lives to do it. And we're still doing it. And some of us are farther ahead in line than others. So we kind of say, all right, scoot up, come up with me. But we're not at the front of the line. I'm not at the front of the line. I might be a little farther up than you about some things, but you're farther up than me about other stuff. Right? One of the best pieces of advice I ever heard from a seminary professor was, and he always sounded like Mike Tyson. I don't know why, but maybe it's just my impression of him. It sounds like Mike Tyson. He said, never forget that you know more about the faith than they do. But never forget that they live the faith. You haven't. I was like, oh, dang. I was feeling pretty good there. I had that moment like Peter, and then you dropped me down. Good. Those two things are true, right? Maybe I've studied the faith, but you've walked the faith. And so I've got something to learn from you. And that brings us to the third one. I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Well, that sounds a little bit to me like changing lives. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where Presbyterians get excited because now it sounds like finally something practical. I was fine when you talked about praising God. Yeah, yeah, prayer is great. And I was fine when you talked about a book study because I can at least go on Amazon and buy the book. But let's talk about walking the walk. Let's talk about walking with integrity. Let's talk about living this stuff out. Well, it's important because all that praise stuff and all that study stuff, it all gets exposed when we walk. And so the rest of the psalm is all about that. But I have to tell you, I will walk with integrity of heart. That integrity of heart kind of stuck in my head. Because I thought, that gets used a lot, that little phrase, integrity of heart, integrity of heart. Somebody else was supposed to have integrity of heart. Who was that? And then I remembered, oh yeah, it was Abraham. So that's why I dropped that on poor Kevin Weber. I didn't mean to do anything. I like Kevin. I mean, he might not know it, but I like him. I didn't mean to do it to him, but Abraham didn't always have integrity of heart. In fact, I think Abraham, maybe that's why I like him so much, a little bit of a shifty guy. You know, they'd be going along in their station wagon, and then they'd get to a security checkpoint, and Abraham I think right at the last minute, because I would never think of this of Sarah. He would, right before he rolled down the window, he would say, look, if anybody says anything, we're brother and sister. And he has got the window down. Hey, good morning, how are you? What? They're not brother and sister. And whoever they talked to was kind of like, oh, she's attractive. Yeah, okay. You know what? I know that the king's going to want to see you later. And then the poor king, whoever it is, gets in trouble. An angel visits the king and says, what is you? I'm about to take your life. And the king's like, hold on. I've acted with integrity of my heart. And God says, yes, I know you've acted with integrity of your heart. That's why you're not dead yet. Abraham's the one who didn't act with integrity of heart. Right? Well, so that's one of the reasons I like him. Sometimes he's a negative example. We look to the scriptures, we're always like, oh, the script, you know, we don't tell the kids this. This is why we've dismissed them. Molly, don't listen. The Bible's filled with people just like us who make mistakes. The Bible's filled with people just like us who don't always do everything right. You know? We tell the kids about the ark. Oh, the ark and the animals, huh? We don't tell them about Noah in the episode with the wine later. He hit the wine after that. Of course, a boat ride like that. Don't feel, you're like, well, sounds about right. So Abraham's kind of a shifty guy at moments, but he's still our guy, right? He's trying. And so are we. We're trying to walk with integrity of heart. I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Perverseness of heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. This is the goal, right? Praising God, making disciples, changing lives. Well, we can do pretty well with one. Praise God together. And when it feels good to be together, and that's helpful. That gives us that energy. We sing. The music's great. We praise God. And we kind of break up and go into our classrooms, and we struggle to learn together a little bit, and we got our questions, but we've got a few answers, and they're not very good. They help us with better questions, and we keep progressing. And we're trying to live this life of faith, right? This is what we're aiming at. And it's not always easy. But the good news is we don't have to do it alone. I like that last part of our, you know, the idea of changing lives. Before we can change anyone's life, if we even can, we have to pray that God would change our own lives. And to be honest, that's another thing I love when people say, let me be honest. Have you not been honest before? Why do you say that? Well, they're just trying to kind of heighten the moment, right? They're trying to make it more intense. Anyway, if we can be totally honest, even though it's Sunday morning, and I don't really get honest till after 10 p.m. But how much do we really want our lives to change, right? 3%. I would like 3% life change. Okay. But if we walk in this way of integrity, where we want to keep this faithfulness close to us and push aside things that are not in their right place, we want to change lives. We want to begin with, how much of my own life can I handle changing? And that is the work of faith. Praising God, making disciples, changing our lives, beginning with us. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you draw us in this place, that you love each of us, and that you love all of us, and that you brought us together to consider what it's like for us to praise you, to study after your word, and to seek transformation for ourselves and those that we see around us that we're close to. May the power of your spirit blow through us, that we would hear the tapping of your fingers in our hearts, and that we would respond in faith with thanksgiving. Amen.